We'll be looking at Psalm 150 for our psalm meditation today. Finishing up the book of Psalms again. So we've wrapped all the way around back to 150. A little over, two, three years it takes to get through this, all of it. A little over three when you count 119. So Psalm 150 in the New King James, we'll go ahead and look through this. And the title put on there by the editors is, "Let All Things Praise the Lord." It begins, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instrument and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that is breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." So you can see that the title that the editors put up there today is quite appropriate. Let all things praise the Lord. Psalm 150 finishes this little series that we've been going through, the longer series, if you look at it in terms of following Jesus through His trials, through His what's called the Passion, through the crucifixion and then His resurrection and exaltation. We've been looking the last few how all things now have been redeemed and how all things have gone from the remnant status where there was just a small nucleus of the gospel, a small people of God, a small land that follows after Jehovah God, the true God, and how after the resurrection that's been expanded to where the gospel now has gone to the nations and all of creation is redeemed. From the skies, the seas, the birds, the fish, the animals, the rocks, the trees, the cedars, all things now are rejoicing in praise to their God, to the God of creation. Now, you'll hear me use the phrase, I'm going to digress slightly here. You'll hear me use the phrase in prayer and as I'm discussing scripture sometimes, I'll say that that is their God or your God, or the nations should praise their God. When you hear me say that, I want you to understand very clearly that I'm not saying that Jehovah is that thing's God, but other things may have different gods. That Jehovah may have been Israel's God, but the other nations had equally valid and proper gods. You're not going to hear any such tolerance, I guess is a word, or multiculturalism, or foolishness, or blasphemy from me. And if you ever hear me say something like that, what I want you to understand that to mean is the same thing that the Bible uses when it uses the phrase your God or their God. When you read that in the New Testament or even in the Old Testament, what's being said isn't that this is the God that you've chosen to follow and so He is yours. It's not saying that this is the God of your people, so therefore you should follow it. It's not saying that this is the God of the land where you live and so therefore that's your God. It is that your God is to be your God. Not a God that you happen to live under, but your King, your Creator, your Father. And now if you're a Christian in these New Testament days, or if you were a true believer in the Old Testament days, your Redeemer. When I say yours, I'm not making it a particular God, meaning that's the one you follow. I'm wanting you to think of it in terms of a personal God. The God that your heart is with. The one that is truly your God, your Master, your Father. When we look at this, you know, all things come under the headship of Jehovah God. Yahweh, the Creator, the Covenant God, is the God of all. But in these New Testament days, we see, it's mentioned in the epistles, it's mentioned in the Gospels, we see it in the Psalms, we see it in Genesis, that this God is the God of the nations as well. That the nations, the peoples, the fish, the trees, all owe allegiance and thanks to this God as well. But let's look at Psalm 150 now. That was quite the introduction. But as we've gone more general in each of the Psalms, we've gone from the nation of Israel to the nations, to the world, to the animals. Here we're looking at all of creation. No, we're not actually doing that. We've kind of turned things around this time, and now the nations look to Him. In the last psalm, we looked at the different things that praised God. But here the focus is more looking at the mighty God, Jehovah, or Yahweh, as we praise him. Let all things praise Jehovah. Praise Jehovah. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Praise God. And there we see just the normal word God. Praise Elohim, the ultimate being in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. We look at him ruling in heavens, sitting on his throne in the, above the firmaments, ruling over all of creation, not just the earth, but all the planets and all the stars. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Here's where the study of the scripture becomes very important. It's critical, of course, to understand the nature of sin, the fallenness of man, to find how salvation happens, and then how to apply that, how that's applied to individuals. The study of God's word is critical so that we can understand how to live and in order to praise God, or in order to please God. But here we see a part of, in verse 2, a reason to study scriptures apart from all those. Those are all kind of self-serving to some degree. But in verse 2, we see praise him for his mighty acts. And what are those mighty acts? To know his mighty acts, we have to look at his story. Look through the history of his people, of his covenant, of his activities. And that's found in scripture. We're told to praise God according to his excellent greatness. And to have any clue what his greatness is, what it entails, how excellent it really is, we have to know what he is. And where better to find that than his description of himself, which is found in the Bible. So many times we're told to read the Bible for reasons that help us, and that's good. But as we read it, we must always, always have a mind and a heart to praise God for what we find there as well. Moving on to verse 3, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the lute and the harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, with stringed instruments and flutes, loud cymbals, praise him with clashing cymbals. Here again, we have a list of musical instruments to be used to praise God. And some people say this applies in the Old Testament age because these are the things that were commanded for the temple. And since there is no more temple, these things no longer apply to the public worship, the corporate worship of God. That's true for some of these instruments, but not all of them, because they weren't all even prescribed for the temple worship. Even in the Old Testament, when you look at this, this would not even have been looking at the temple worship. This is not corporate worship. This psalm is not looking at going to church. No, rather this is looking at all that you do. Your entertainments, the fun that you have at home, in the village dance, in the festivals at harvest time and after the planting is completed, the hay harvest, any of the different activities that you would see in an agrarian society. Any time the people came together, any time the people had joy or mirth or happiness in their heart, weddings, funerals even, any time, all things were to be done to the praise of God. You get your weed in, you praise God. You give thanks for it and have a party as you praise God. You have a barn dance, do it to God's glory. You go to a square dance, praise him in your behavior and while you're there. All of these instruments, the dance, all of these things speak to worshiping God, praising him with your entire life, with your whole being. Every action, every breath, every thought is to be taken captive to the praise of God. And we see that in the last verse here again. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The breath here would be, of course, the word nephesh, which means the spirit. And that's not just humans, but all things that breathe were said to have this. The spirit of life that comes from the Father. All life and all parts of our life are to be done in praise to our God. We have this odd sense sometimes in the American church, in the Christian church, in modern life, where we compartmentalize our life into some things are this and some things are that. I'm a different person at work than I am at home. And in the church, sometimes I get the feeling that I should be a different person there. And that's simply false. Man is not built that way. We are who we are. And we do what we do with the same, we should, if we're not insane, with the same mind and heart as we go about our lives. This psalm teaches us that as redeemed creatures, we're redeemed in all that we do. As creation is redeemed, all things that we do have become holy to some sense. And that all things are to be done to the praise of God. We see that in the Gospels. Jesus speaks of the same thing, where all things are to be done for the glory of God, for the praise of the Father. All things are to be done as Christians, as believers. So this psalm cements that, emphasizes that, as it wraps up this final bit of the praise hymnal of the church. We're left with the thought again, as the gospel went along, as Jesus suffered and died, was raised again, redeemed not just his people, but all things. As all things, every enemy is being brought under him, so that he may give all of creation back to the Father, fully redeemed, fully sanctified. We are to be sanctified and redeemed in all that we do, so that our life becomes a celebration of our new soul, our new heart, the new man. We're given this to sing, not just in church, although it's, of course, entirely appropriate there. But these words and these emotions, these thoughts are to be spread across our life. So as we sing this, which we'll do here in just a moment, let's sing this with true joy of the redeemed people, knowing that our God is going to win the war, has won the war. All that's left is putting things back in order. Sing this in praise to the mighty God who has redeemed us in all things, and dedicate our hearts and our lives to him again, to live for him in all that we do. We'll sing Psalm 150 and we'll sing version A.